The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the hole 6010. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome in to the final Fantasy Focus DFS podcast. My name is Daniel Dopp. To my left is Mike Clay. What's up, buddy?
Oh, not too much. I can't believe it's the last show of the year.
It feels like we just got started
and the Super Bowl is here already.
I know. It's sort of sad, isn't it?
It is. It is a little sad, but yeah, I'll be in Disney World soon, so I'm not
inside
too upset.
Inside of Disney World.
I'll be inside of Disney World.
Okay. So. That'll be fun. Look for Mike Clay at Disney World soon.
That's why I'm a little more perky today.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's fair. I get that. To Mike's left is Al Zeidenfeld joining us on a big monitor. His head isn't actually that big in real life. Or is it, Al? How you doing, buddy? Say that to me one more time, Al, because I don't hear what it is that you're saying. Yeah.
I said, I'm doing fine. How are you today, Daniel?
I'm doing fantastic. I appreciate having you here. Getting up early, as always, to join us on the podcast. That L.A. backdrop behind you, man, you must have one killer penthouse apartment if that's what we're looking at.
I mean, the views here are just stellar, aren't they?
It's just beautiful.
You gotta pay extra.
You've got etched ESPN Los Angeles into the glass underneath you. Like, you spared no expense. You're who's that guy from Jurassic Park that spared no expense?
I was going to say, it's very Jurassic Park-ish.
Exactly.
There's actually a T-Rex pen right off camera here to the right.
Oh, great. Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
So Al's on the West Coast, so it's all way early. We're taping this at 10:30 Eastern.
Yep.
He has dinosaurs on his set.
Yeah.
And he was here on time today. Someone else wasn't on time. Do you know who was not on time?
Jackson Aiello. Oh, my gosh. That guy's always late to everything. Well, guys, here's the deal. This week's slate is quite a bit different. So, like, we need to get into figuring out strategy, how it is that we break this down. Like, we're no longer, I don't want to say no longer doing, like, head-to-head stuff, but, like, this is such a weird tournament lineup. I want to get your guys' thoughts on strategy, and we're just going to sort of go through everybody here, all the players. There's only two teams, but we still have a free, unlimited contest. $200 in prizes. Go to DraftKings.com, or you can look at the links that either Mike or I will tweet out to be able to join us. It's going to be a ton of fun. It always is.
Yes, sir.
This last one, we found out that Mike is on a 10-game winning streak.
Oh, we did. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, we did find that out against me. So this last one, I need to bring home a W. I can't go out like this.
It's a little too late, though. It's kind of like the Falcons picking up some wins at the end of the regular season. You know, like,
wow. It's
you didn't make the playoffs, Chief.
Yeah.
It's over.
Okay, that's fair.
Anyway, you
that's
know.
Fair. Sort of, I mean, I get it. But, you know, I like to be one of those, Keith Lipscomb always says, I'm not one of those Brown fans that roots for them to lose because it's better for draft positioning. Like, I give me a W.
All right. Well, we'll see who Al picks at the end of the show, right? Is he going to go with...
I don't think you're going to pick my lineup.
Is he going with the team that's in the Super Bowl?
No.
Or is he going with...
We'll find out.
The Falcons.
I went a little crazy with my... I'm excited about it. But here's the deal. Everything that you do this week is going to be showdown mode, which means you have a captain. That captain gets 1.5 times points versus everybody else. You then have flex spots for all of your different positions.
Five of those.
And yep, five flex spots. And you can just pick any player that you want to fit into that spot. So kickers, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, defenses.
Yes.
Everything.
Yeah, but there are kickers this week, which is unique, obviously. You don't have that in your normal standard leagues that we talk about on a week-to-week basis. But for a showdown captain, as you mentioned, you get the five flex, you get the one captain. And again, I always want to say time and a half. I call it time and a half for some reason. I don't know why, but you get 1.5 the salary, and then you get 1.5 the points wherever you put in that slot. It adds an interesting dimension to it. So we'll talk through all the players, the best values, and obviously we'll talk about some of the best captains.
Yeah. So I'm going to just start at the very top and roll down. And if you guys want to specifically mention who you feel like if this, you know, as we're talking about a player, I think this would be a good player for that captain spot. Would love to have your thoughts and analysis there. But let's just start at the top with Patrick Mahomes, because $12,600. A lot of money, but we've seen what he's done so far this postseason. Mike, I just want to start with you. Patrick Mahomes at this price point, do you think you need to find a way to fit him into your lineup?
I think you do. If you can pull it off, I mean, there's obviously if you're in a tournament setting, maybe you want to get a little more creative, but especially if you're in a situation like us where we're playing head to head,
yep.
He gives you a massively high floor. And look, I can give you all kinds of numbers about how good Patrick Mahomes is, and I'm going to give you a few, but we know like what he brings to the table. We know he's a high ceiling. But how about this, though? He's actually been kind of peaking lately, right? I mean, his last two fantasy point totals are 38 and 35. He has 9 touchdowns and 0 interceptions during that span, averaging over 300 yards a game. And how about this one? Averaging 53 rushing yards. He has exactly 53 rushing yards in each of his past two games, 7+ carries in 3 straight. So he's adding kind of a new dimension on top of what we've already gotten from him. 18+ fantasy points in 12 of his 15 games this season. And look, the only thing you're really worried about here is the matchup, right? Because we know the 49ers are extremely good against quarterbacks. They allowed the fewest passing yards during the regular season, the lowest average depth of throw, the lowest yards per attempt. They did allow 23 passing touchdowns, so that was middle of the pack. So, you know, if you do in a tournament setting want to pivot off that because you think, you know what, I think the 49ers defense is going to show up and slow him down, that would be the reason why you did that. But it is Patrick Mahomes after all, so at this price point, I'm still interested.
Al, talk to me about Patrick Mahomes and whether or not you agree. Do you think you've got to find a way to squeeze him in your lineup this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're definitely going to try and squeeze him into a lineup. Whether or not you put him in your captain spot, that's really going to be the differentiating decision that you have to make. Because as you mentioned, captains get 1.5 the amount of points when they're in your captain spot, but they also cost you 1.5x the amount of salary. So it's really going to cost you an extra 6,000 on your salary, 6,000 plus, to put Patrick Mahomes at captain. And if you're playing in a large field tournament, in terms of those big, large field tournament GPPs, about 11% of those have been won with a quarterback in the captain spot. So showdown comes way more down to correlations, way more down to bring back players, meaning you're going to have Patrick Mahomes at captain. You're going to want to stack at least one, probably two of his pass catchers on that same team in the flex and bring it back with one of the other players that's going to do well. You have to play at least one player from the opposing team. You can't just stack 6 players on one. So you want to bring it back with at least one of the players on the other offense and hope for a shootout. So I'm actually interested to hear Mike's point of view on the way he thinks this game can go, because we've talked on short slates about telling a story, about building a game flow that you think is possible, and then building lineups around that game flow, kind of like your lineup was last week.
Yep.
To an extreme, Daniel. But doing that in showdown is a very viable way to build lineups, because there's a lot more variance involved when you're dealing with a single game.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And again, I think it kind of depends on what format you're in, right? Like, I think in tournament, you have to do what you just said. I think in cash, you can be a little bit more conservative. It went in a head-to-head setting. So if you're only playing against 99 other people and you have to be in the 50th percentile or better to cash, you can go a little safer and you don't necessarily need to have the highest score to win. So you're not trying to maximize necessarily.
Well, okay, so speaking of not having the highest score to win, and I do mean this, no disrespect towards Jimmy Garoppolo, but through single-digit passes in the last game, only $8,000 here on this week's slate. Al, I'm going to start with you. When you look at Jimmy Garoppolo and this price point, understanding what he has done, when he does get the ability to attempt more passes, you assume it's going to be a shootout. They're going to have to throw. Do you think that Jimmy Garoppolo is actually underpriced here, or is this about right for where you think he'll be this week?
I mean, he's definitely priced down versus where other quarterbacks were this season at showdown. Typically, the quarterbacks are a little bit closer in price because, as we've seen throughout years of fantasy, the quarterback scoring is very truncated, right?
Yep.
It's a narrower band for the top scoring quarterback and a lower scoring quarterback. But coming off a game where you didn't really have to throw the ball that much, and based on the blueprint to beat these Chiefs, you do want to continue to run the ball as much as possible. But with where the over-under in this game, with where their total is, and expecting that they're going to have to keep their foot on the pedal to keep up with Kansas City, if that's the way that you project the game flow to be, Jimmy Garoppolo is definitely underpriced. But if you're going to play Jimmy Garoppolo at captain, I'd rather play one of his pass catchers at captain, and there's one that's very similarly priced to him, just based on the upside that player can do great without Jimmy Garoppolo having a great game.
Interesting. A little bit of foreshadowing there. Yes. Mike, agree, disagree, where you fall on Jimmy Garoppolo here?
Yeah, I like him. I think that in terms of, and I don't think I answered Al's first question, which is kind of predicting game script, game flow, what the game's going to be like. I have a 28-27, so it's essentially a toss-up. So I think both offenses are going to be busy. It's not going to be a situation where you're just going to have the Niners running out the clock like they have so often this season. That kind of plays into my analysis of him, which is that I have him projected for 32 pass attempts, and a lot of people saw that when I initially released it and thought, that's way too high, right? He's not going to hit single-digit pass attempts last week. That's crazy. But he averaged 29.8 during the regular season, right?
Really? Really?
So this is only a little above that. And he's playing the pass heaviest offense in the NFL.
Yes, he is.
And it's a team that's very good on both sides of the ball. He's going to have to throw it more than usual, barring some big plays early. They build a lead and then they just lean on Raheem Mostert. So I don't expect that to be the case. I think this will be a proverbial shootout, if you will. You know, I think both offenses will have to try to keep up with the other. I understand that he has a low floor, hasn't cleared 10 fantasy points since week 14. But again, a lot of those game scripts were very positive. He was fifth in the NFL in passing touchdowns during the regular season. As mentioned, the attempts are usually much higher than that. And the Chiefs defense, pretty good against quarterbacks. Among the five best defenses in completion percentage and yards per attempt allowed. But they were kind of mid-pack in fantasy points allowed because of some of the other categories. So it is a relatively tough matchup. But again, he has shown, when he has had to throw the football, when they've been behind, think about the Saints game, for example, or the Cardinals games. When he has had to throw, he can put up big fantasy point totals, and I think this will be one of the rare games where more is on his shoulders. He's already shown that in those scenarios, he can deliver.
Okay, so speaking of the idea that this game will be a shootout, based on what it is that we see from the over-under, based on the idea of what we think both of these offenses are going to have to be, I want to transition into the running backs and talk specifically. Mike, I'm going to start with you on Raheem Mostert, because he crushed it last week. Like, otherworldly. 51.6 points in just standard DraftKings slate, not including if he had been a captain, which you would have gotten another half of that on top of it. So, but he's $9,400.
Yes.
Taking on a team that you think is going to throw a bunch, and his team is going to have to throw a bunch. Do you think that he's worth it here, either as a captain or just to roster in general?
I think he's a little expensive for my taste.
Okay.
A little bit. We loved him last week. I just think cheap last week. Yeah, but the price this week relative to everybody else, I think he's a little expensive. Now keep this in mind. Really, the only injury in question right now is Tevin Coleman.
Yep.
Is he going to play? And I will like Mostert more if Tevin Coleman doesn't play. But of course, if Coleman's out, you're going to see Matt Breida. You might see some other guys mix in. Maybe a little extra target for Kyle Juszczyk. Right? They're going to kind of fill those voids. I don't think Mostert's necessarily going to get 70% of the carries, right? They like to keep him around 50, and he doesn't do much as a pass catcher too, which is a kind of a risk you're taking if you use him. Keep in mind, had the big game last week. He has at least one touchdown in 7 of his past 8 games, which has really helped keep his floor up in fantasy, but he only has 9 catches for 97 yards during those 8 games. That's about, you know, a little over 1 per game. So not a lot there. The thing that probably makes you feel good about him is the fact that, much like the Packers last week, the Chiefs are horrendous against running backs.
Yes, they
really
are.
Struggle. Fourth most fantasy points allowed to them during the regular season. The fourth highest yards per carry. The most receiving yards to running backs. And the second most scrimmage yards to that position. So, again, maybe that will allow them to lean on him. Maybe he makes some big plays like he did last week and kind of carries that offense at times. But, again, all things considered, add in the price, add in Coleman at this point looking like he's probably going to play. I think he's a little bit overpriced.
Okay, that's fair. Al, I want you to quickly weigh in on that and then transition into Damian Williams on the other side, who's $9,800, a little bit more money in what you think about Damian. But let's start with Raheem Mostert first, and then you can go into Damian Williams.
Mostert's been outstanding. He's just been a very good running back. But as Mike alluded to, they like to keep him around 50% of the carries, so you're not usually going to get the sort of volume and the workload that he got last game when Coleman left that game. It does appear that he's going to play. Now, if Coleman does not play, now it brings in, as Mike brought up, it brings in somebody like Juszczyk, who's like 1,200, or Breida, who's in the 3,000 range, who are going to be a lot more popular because they're going to open up a lot more value, seeing that they're going to get a little bit more volume if Coleman's out. But we expect Coleman to play. Obviously, we're going to stay tuned to that by the time the game kicks off in, 10 days. So for me, Mostert is the guy that I'd want to roster out of those two, though Damian Williams, if you project 30 points for the Kansas City Chiefs, as Mike pretty much does, there's going to be a lot of work here, and he's gotten all the inside the five carries since he's come back and taken over the lead job. I'm always interested in the RB1 in a Andy Reid offense. That's just the way that I've rolled for the last, I don't know, 10 years of playing fantasy. It's just been a gold mine to just play his RB1 on a week in, week out basis, and especially the last 8 years that I've been playing daily fantasy. I don't see why that should change now, and a running back can be the guy, especially in showdown, who has the easiest path more than anybody else on the field that's not a quarterback to multiple touchdowns, and that's how you win showdown slates, is having those multiple touchdown guys in your captain spot.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And by the way, Williams, during the two playoff games, has played 109 of 121 possible snaps. I mean, He's not in a committee anymore in Kansas City. He is the clear workhorse, 29 carries and 11 targets during them two games. Al mentioned the touchdowns, three-plus touchdowns for the Chiefs offense in 12 of Mahomes' 15 full games this season. They are scoring a ton of points. He's playing every snap. The Niners are very good against the run. They've actually allowed the third fewest touches and yards and the fourth fewest touchdowns to running backs this season. So that's really your only concern, but the heavy volume he's going to be getting is enough for me to feel pretty decent about Damian Williams.
Okay, so let's move ahead to the wide receivers here, and we'll start with the Chiefs because Tyreek Hill, as a wide receiver one, you want to talk about a guy that can score multiple touchdowns. I mean, he's one of those guys that at the drop of a hat, two long passes and it's just done. So $11,000 for Tyreek Hill, understanding, again, if you, depending on who you play in that captain spot, you're going to have to figure out ways to save a little bit of money. Do you think that Tyreek Hill is somebody that you're trying to target this week?
I think in a tournament, I feel better about him in cash, or essentially what we're doing. Not as strong. He hasn't, believe it or not, this one surprised me. He hasn't cleared 67 yards in a game since week 10.
Wow.
It's been a long time. Like, not 67 for Tyreek Hill. If you want those big games, you need a lot more yardage. Now, he does have two touchdown games during that span, but he has zero touchdowns in every other game. So he's probably a little more boom-bust than you would expect for a guy who was seeing pretty consistently high targets throughout most of last season. He just hasn't quite been there this year. So at 11,000, I think he's too much. He's a little too much for me.
All right, Al, then let's look at Sammy Watkins, $7,700. We saw what he did last week. Help me and my stupid brain not be like, oh, Sammy Watkins did it last week. Maybe he can do it again this week, guys. Like, is it going to be a week too late? Is it worth starting him this week?
I mean, we're playing daily fantasy, not whack-a-mole, Daniel.
I understand that, but you know how it works. Like, you get enticed by, oh, you know what? Maybe the 49ers will try and shut down Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. So that means that there's going to be one of them open. And if I have to choose between Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, and DeMarcus Robinson, like, Sammy Watkins, we know, has the talent. Talk me out of that mindset, Al.
Okay. Here's the mindset that I always look to when building showdown lineups.
Okay.
And this is, make no mistake, these are showdown lineups. This is not standard daily fantasy that we've been talking to the audience about for the entire season on this podcast. I want as much touchdown equity as I can get. I want players that have a chance to get into the end zone, and I want what we call slate breakers, right? We want somebody that's going to put up that 30-point game, especially having access to that player in your captain spot, if not in the flex, because they are players that you have to win tournaments, or at least put yourself in a position to be able to win a tournament. Sammy Watkins did it for us last week and did it for us in week one. So his season has been very bookendy from one side to the other. Whether or not he can continue that, and like you mentioned, teams are going to want to stop Tyreek Hill and they're going to want to stop Travis Kelce. I mean, that's always plan A, but life is determined by how well you deal with plan B, and most teams just have to deal with plan B, because stopping Tyreek Hill and stopping Travis Kelce in the same game is really, really difficult. We talked about this summit 2 years ago, how this is one of the most complementary offenses in terms of parts and pieces that works together to not allow you to do those sorts of things. And Sherman's a great cornerback, right? But he's had problems dealing with speed receivers for his entire career. He's a bigger body. He does stick to one side. Hill moves around in the formation, moves left to right. But I'm not really concerned with Tyreek Hill when he's on Sherman's side. No, he's not going to do as well on the short hooks. He's not going to do as well on the shorter routes. But if it comes down to a burner situation, I don't think that Richard Sherman can stay with him. So those deep routes that he saw on four deep targets last week against the Titans, I kind of differ from Mike here. At least from a tournament perspective, because if this player is not clicked on as much as other people because of A, his price, B, people are going to be scared of that Sherman matchup, I think, incorrectly. Tyreek Hill is somebody who can definitely break a slate, can definitely blow this week wide open and from a fantasy perspective. So I would lean towards more paying for Tyreek Hill than wanting to lean on Sammy Watkins at that mid price, where you've got other talented players. We talked about Garoppolo, who's probably going to fill up a flex spot for you. What's his name? His tight end.
George Kittle.
Why can't I remember? George Kittle, thank you, is similarly priced him at $8,400. I mean, would you rather pay $7,700 for Sammy Watkins or George Kittle at $8,400? For me, I would lean towards prioritizing Kittle over Watkins, so I'm probably going to be underweight versus the field on somebody like Watkins, and it may burn me, but it's only burned me twice this season, so the way I look at it, I'm up 16 to 2 on the, play versus fade Sammy Watkins crowd.
Yeah, and I agree with that in most showdowns, right? Like we're talking a little head to head cash setting in tournaments. I'm with Al, no question. I prefer Hill, and I'm not really afraid of the matchup. I'm more afraid of the matchup for Sammy Watkins against a defense very good against the pass. But we know Tyreek Hill, as Al mentioned, has that breakaway playability. But really quick, by the way, Watkins had 114 yards and a touchdown this past week, mm-hmm. and Al kind of alluded to this, had the three touchdowns in week one. Between that, had zero touchdowns and averaged 7.9 fantasy points per game. And that's 13 games. So he just crazy how polarizing his season has been.
Yeah. Let's talk quickly about the other two wide receivers. We'll go fast on these guys, both Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson. DeMarcus Robinson, $2,600. Mecole Hardman, $2,200. They are so low priced that there's a part of me where it's like they could have one catch for 8 yards, or one of these guys could go off and become a Super Bowl hero. And now, based on where you play them, it's crazy value. Do you like one over the other? Do you see us trying to squeeze one of them into your fantasy lineup?
Mecole Hardman ran more routes than Robinson last week for only the third time this season. So maybe they're trying to work him a little more. So, and he's $400 less.
Yep.
So I think he's the preferred play. But keep in mind, he hasn't scored since week 14, and he has 30 or fewer yards in five straight games.
Yep.
Robinson, by the way, 4.5 fantasy points per game in 16 games. Since that big week two he had, remember he had that huge week two, since that point under 5 points per game, two or fewer targets in 8 of his past 11. So I don't really feel good about either of them, but as you mentioned, if you want to go really cheap, kind of punt a spot, I think Hardman's the choice.
Okay, let's move ahead to Deebo Samuel, $7,600, the highest priced wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. Quite a bit more, actually, than Emmanuel Sanders, who's $5,200. So I want to hear a little bit on both sides of the coin as to if you like Deebo more based on this price point over Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, as for Deebo, I think it's worth it, the price difference. I think it makes a lot of sense. He has a 14-7 target edge over Emmanuel Sanders during their past three games. And again, they haven't thrown it much, but his target share is 29%. That is a huge target share. He has emerged as their clear number one wide receiver, so I feel pretty good about him in a game where I think they're going to have to throw the football more. He also has at least one carry in seven straight games.
Yeah.
So they're getting him the ball a variety of different ways. And quickly on Sanders, again, a lot cheaper. He is playing full-time, but if you look at his past five receiving lines, two catches, 9 yards, 3 for 61, 3 for 25, 2 for 33, and zero catches last week, has zero touchdowns during those five games. So he's way down the totem pole right now. Again, if they have to throw more, he could have a decent game, so I get it at this price point, but I would rather try to find a way to spend on Deebo and stay away from Sanders.
Al, how you feel about that? Are you agreeing with Mike here? Are you fading what Mike's doing? Or do you like Deebo over Emmanuel Sanders based on that price point as well?
I mean, I'm fine with Deebo. I'd much prefer Deebo to Watkins, to tell you that much.
For sure.
If I'm going to bring it back from a Kansas City stack with one of the San Francisco wide receivers, it's probably going to be Deebo Samuel. Kendrick Bourne, though, at 3,400 is very intriguing based on his red zone and end zone opportunities that he's had. He doesn't log a lot of targets. He doesn't log a lot of catches. But when they get into the red zone, they definitely look his way. And Kansas City does allow a lot of red zone opportunities per game on a per game basis. And if you're expecting a lot of points from this San Francisco offense, they should be in the red zone multiple times this game, 3, 4, 5 times possibly, which means that Kendrick Bourne is going to be there in the operate in the area of the field where he can win.
Yeah, one note, though, keep in mind the Chiefs very good against wide receivers. Second fewest fantasy points allowed during the regular season. Fewest receptions, fewest receiving yards allowed. Only 11 touchdowns. So
Wow. That
could actually hurt Bourne, who has 42 or fewer receiving yards in 17 of his 18 games. So you're not going to get many yards at him. You know that. You're really gambling on a touchdown. The Chiefs don't allow many touchdowns to wide receivers.
Interesting. All right. All right, Mike. Why don't you do me a favor? I think you got a little thing you got to read for us right there.
Well, look, like I said, I'm preparing for a vacation, so
yeah,
I have a long to-do list, right?
And
I think everybody really has a to-do list year-round.
Yep,
so
I do.
You know, dropping off the dry cleaning, picking
Definitely.
Up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
Wow. Think about that. Something more rewarding than doing this podcast with you two handsome fellas, huh?
That's one of the few things that would be better.
All right. Well, I guess that's fair. I'll check into it. Let's move this ahead to tight ends, where Travis Kelce, $9,600. $9,600. Travis Kelce has been polarizing for me. And he's one of those guys that obviously we know can go off, and we know how talented he is. But he also hasn't been a guaranteed points factory the way that I had hoped that he would be Mike, $9,600 here in this slate. Which side are you on Travis Kelce?
I'm fine with Kelce. I know, you know, his price would probably be higher if he didn't have the recent duds, right? Two of his past three have been duds, but I mean, we're through what, four seasons now of him playing at a high level. You know, the duds are very rare. So yeah. I still feel pretty good about him. 60 plus yards, nine of his past 11 games, seven touchdowns during that span, almost 19 points per game. So I still feel pretty good about the guy who's been the number one tight end four consecutive seasons in fantasy. If there's a roadblock here, it is the defense, and we've said that often, but the 49ers very good against tight ends, sixth fewest fantasy points allowed. They allowed the fewest yardage to tight ends during the regular season, although they did allow six touchdowns. That was 10th most. So maybe you're hoping he finds the end zone. It might not be a huge yardage game for him, but you know, all bets are off in the Super Bowl. He is a superstar player. He's the top target, if we're being honest here, for Patrick Mahomes. He's the highest targeted player on that team. So I still think if you're setting a lineup, it's not a bad idea to fire up Travis Kelce. I know that's not exactly a bold take.
Yeah, super, super not bold take there. But Al, I want to know, agree or disagree on the maybe Travis Kelce would be good for your lineup this week?
Yeah, I'm on team Travis Kelce is good.
That's fair. Hot take.
Here, yeah, right? Hot take. Only measured takes from me this morning. Travis Kelce, though, just from a lineup building perspective. Okay, let's talk about this for just a second because Travis Kelce's great. George Kittle's great. You're not going to hear much difference from any of us in this situation. Maybe there's going to be a stat that says, well, they've been good against this, but teams are going to force volume that way, and I will always take volume over matchup. So when you're playing somebody at your captain spot, if you're going to choose Kelce or you're going to choose Kittle as your captain, you want to be sure that you're going to play their quarterback in that lineup at flex as well. I've told you earlier in this podcast that correlation is key when it comes to playing showdown, whether it's cash games or whether it's going to be in tournaments. You want to have that correlation, and the biggest correlation is with a quarterback and his pass catcher. So if you're going to have either Kelce or Kittle in your captain spot, you're going to want to make sure that if it's Kelce, that you have Mahomes at the flex spot or one of those five flex spots. If you have Kittle, you're going to make sure that you have Jimmy Garoppolo as one of the flex spots tied to that captain, because correlation is the easiest way to make sure that if your lineup goes off, it goes off all the way and not just half of the way. No half measures.
I like
that. No half measures.
I like that. Mike, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Not really. I want to talk about George Kittle, though.
You want to talk about George Kittle? Let's talk about George Kittle. $8,400 this week. We know what George Kittle can do. He's just a glorified wide receiver. $1,200 less than Travis Kelce. What do you mean?
Glorified wide receiver?
Yeah. I mean, he's a great blocker as well. Good. I'm not one of those people that doesn't think he can't block.
I was going to say.
Don't put that evil on me, Mike Clay.
I don't think we could call him. We could call some tight ends glorified wide receivers. I don't think we could call George Kittle that, because he is. But I just saved you, because you were going to get all the comments from the Niners fans.
All I mean is that he is, like, his primary goal from fantasy perspective is he is a glorified wide receiver with the numbers that he puts up.
He puts up big yards.
Yes. Not that he's not also fantastic and one of the best run blockers in the NFL.
Listen, I'm just here for you.
I
don't want you to get spammed on Twitter, okay?
That was close.
Just bailing you out.
Okay.
Trust me, it would have hurt.
So George Kittle, one of the best blocking tight ends in the league, Mike. talk to me about whether or not you want to get him in your lineup, $8,400.
I do. I'll tell you what. Four catches, 35 yards, no touchdowns on six targets during two playoff games. Pretty gross, right? But again, we're expecting a different game script. We talked about this with Derrick Henry last week. You can't just go on recency bias in a short sample. If you expect them to throw the football a normal amount of time, which we do, he's a fine play despite the recent dip in production. 16-plus fantasy points in four straight games and six of final seven of his final seven regular season games. So he did finish up the regular season strong, right? It's not like he's been doing this for months and months. He was doing fine in fantasy until the playoffs. Also, believe it or not, a good matchup. The Chiefs allowed the fifth most fantasy points to tight ends during the regular season. Top five in targets, receptions, receiving yards, and end zone targets during that span. So this actually, I think, is a good spot. And as we mentioned here, he's $1,200 cheaper than Travis Kelce.
Yes, he is. You know, the great thing about George Kittle is he really is not just a great blocker, but he's good in pass protection. And you know what real protection means for our listeners, Mike Clay?
What does that mean?
It means you can get all the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security.
Yes, it is.
You get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you. You could have a team of George Kittles out there coming into your house, doing construction, building things, putting stuff up. Specifically, you get the nation's number one smart home security provider. Maybe you call them when something's going on. George Kittle answers the phone. You get a secure smart home with everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights, controlled from the ADT app, or the sound of your voice. You get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. You get a system custom designed to fit your home and safety on the go, either in the car or when your kids are at school. With the ADT Go app with an SOS button, Fantasy Focus Football is sponsored by ADT. Go support them because they support us.
Disclaimer, George Kittle will not answer the phone.
George, he probably will not answer the phone. I do not believe that he actually works for ADT. All right, we're now in that spot here in the showdown lineup where I think strategy becomes really interesting because kickers and defenses in this slate, when you're trying to look at, as Al has said earlier, highest touchdown correlation, who's going to be able to put points on the board for me? That's something that we already know with defenses is very difficult to be able to predict. As defensive touchdowns are almost impossible to decide upon. But kickers, I want to know how they factor into this slate. Al, I'm going to start with you, and then I'm going to move over to Mike. Just in general, the strategy around kickers before we talk about them individually.
Okay, kickers to me are viable in cash games, 50-50s, head-to-heads, if you're playing those formats. Okay. So if that's the way that you're attacking this slate, they have a higher floor than the players in their price range. They have a much lower ceiling than any of the players in their price range. Mecole Hardman, priced like a kicker, a little bit cheaper than a kicker on this slate, probably has a floor of zero, where the kickers don't typically have that sort of a floor. The kickers have a higher median projection than him. But if Mecole Hardman takes 160 yards to the house, all of a sudden, he has a much higher ceiling expectation than any kicker ever does, right? So unless the kicker kicks for like six field goals with one or two of them being 50 yards plus, you're really not going to see kickers be on a winning lineup if they're using the captain spot. Yes, they are a viable way to save money. I would only use them in cash games in tandem. If I'm going to be building tournament lineups, I'm probably going to limit myself to one, maybe two max of the kickers plus the defenses between those four positions. And one thing that I wanted to mention in regards to Mecole Hardman, we talk about his targets, we talk about how many routes he runs, but he also returns kicks for this Chiefs team. So if you want to double dip, right, you're not going to double dip a chip. That's against social rules. That's against social norms. But in daily fantasy, if he returns a kick, you not only get the points for that defense and special teams, but you get it for Mecole Hardman in your lineup as well. So you can double dip in DFS. It is a very viable strategy, although it is a very low probability outcome. But in the chances that it does happen, and on a single game slate, anything can happen. If you have Mecole Hardman paired with the Chiefs defense and he returns a kick for a touchdown, you get to double dip the chip.
Look, we have it all covered, right? We have DFS advice year-round.
Yeah.
And we also have Super Bowl party etiquette information.
Don't double-dip the chip. Don't be that guy.
That's good stuff. I learned something. Now I know not to do that.
Don't do it. All right, well, speaking of things not to do, Harrison Butker, $4,200. Robbie Gould, $4,000. Mike Clay, either one of these kickers, just give me a quick breakdown based on how you see the scoring play out. How do you project kickers and your... you know, the different variables within this game and how confident you would be in starting one of them.
Yeah,
there's
not a ton to say here, right? I mean, both of these offenses are pretty good. They're going to score a lot of touchdowns. They may settle for the occasional field goal fine. Harrison Butker was the number one scoring fantasy kicker during the regular season. Robbie Gould missed three games, but he was number six on a per-game basis.
Okay.
The price difference is only 200, so it's essentially a toss-up for me. It's very close. I think Butker may be a slightly better value, but again, it's just... so close here that if you want to save some cash and throw them in a cash game, as Al mentioned, that's what we're talking about, at least in terms of setting our lineups, I'm totally fine with that. In a tournament setting, as Al mentioned, you may want to stay away.
Okay. And then, Al, talking about these defenses, 49ers, $3,600, Chiefs, $3,000. Obviously, you just talked about the Mecole Hardman Chiefs defense correlation. Do you prefer the Chiefs defense at that price point over the 49ers, or if you were going to play one, are you trying to either avoid one altogether or only play one if there's correlation within your lineup? Is that the sort of structure you're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to try and tell a story with the lineup that I'm building, and if I'm building a lineup that thinks that the 49ers are going to win this game, and I saw some stat that said on defenses that end the year as one of the top two defenses in the league, they're 15-5. In total in Super Bowls. So if you think the 49ers are going to take this game because they are one of the top two defenses, they're going to get at Patrick Mahomes, they're going to cause fumbles, they're going to cause interceptions, get a lot of sacks, then you can play the 49ers defense. I'm going to ignore the score because it's more about sacks, fumbles, and interceptions, especially in a one-game slate. So I'm not worried, well, if they give up 25 points, that's going to bring down their point total. That's not what you're playing defenses for, especially in single-game showdown. And conversely, on the other side, we know that Jimmy Garoppolo has shown a tendency to throw interceptions. when he has a lot of attempts, and this does project, as Mike showed, to be a game that he will have to throw it more than his seasonal average and way more than seven attempts that he threw it last week. So if you think the Chiefs are going to get to him, log a few sacks, possibly get an interception with the outlier of possibly a pick six for either one of these teams, then go for it. I'm going to limit to one defense in the lineup. If I play defense at all, I try to stack as much offensive firepower as possible. But in those games where the defense is a slate breaker, already talked to you about that, you definitely want to have that defense on your team. So they are both going to be in my player pools for this Super Bowl, but I'm not going to overweight them. I'm probably not going to play either in my captain spot.
By the way, building around a game script that favors the 49ers is a lot easier because they're a lot cheaper, right?
Yeah.
And part of that is because they've done almost nothing with their passing game during the playoffs so far. So they're even cheaper than they might have been had they thrown a normal amount of time during the playoffs. But you have Garoppolo cheaper than Mahomes. You have Mostert cheaper than Damian Williams. Tyreek Hill's the most expensive wide receiver. Debo and Sanders also obviously a lot less. Kittle, a lot less than Kelsey. The defense is only, what's the difference? 600 more. I mean, you could really build around a game script like Al said. You want to kind of visualize what you think is going to happen. It should be something bold for a tournament setting and build around that. And if it's the 49ers handling this game and winning it, then it's a lot easier to build that lineup than it is if you think the Chiefs are going to blow them out.
I feel like if I'm going to build that lineup, it's going to be Raheem Mostert based.
Yeah, if you think they're gonna be ahead, but if you think they're gonna have a big passing game and you want to predict that essentially when you set your lineup, it's not hard to put together because again they are so much cheaper.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
It's not hard to get Garoppolo, Debo, Kittle, and maybe a Kendrick Bourne or something like that into a lineup.
Yeah, from a value perspective, that totally makes sense. We're at the part of the show that's my least favorite part of the show. Where
at least
we talk
the last
about
few months.
How we did this last week in fantasy. Both Mike and I actually did very well. Mike Clay, you had 167.86 mm-hmm. points. I had 150.66. So you beat me again this week. The big winner overall was Jacob Dreyer 9, 198.86 scoring there for us, bringing home the number one spot. This season, Mike Clay is 15-5 with a 10-game win streak.
What was that? Sorry, my earpiece fell out.
Al Zeidenfeld is 11-5 overall. Al, I'm sorry I have led you astray five difficult times. I'm assuming I'm at least four of those losses for you, but you know what? I know our friendship will endure. this week, I am interested, and it's almost like throw all the rules out from what we've done all year long because it's such a totally different game this week. So with that being said, Mike Clay, give us your Super Bowl lineup, starting with who you have in the captain spot.
All right, captain is Jimmy G. I'm rolling with him. I like him at this price point. If you, again, you're taking a salary, you're multiplying it by 1.5, essentially, that gets him to $12,000 in terms of his cost. It's not too much. It's still less than Patrick Mahomes, straight
up. Yes,
it
is.
So I'm going to go with Garoppolo in the captain spot, and I'm going to give him some help. I'm going to give him Debo Samuel in one of my flex spots.
Nice.
And then I'm also going to put another duo together, another battery, if you will. I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes and his top weapon, Travis Kelce.
Okay.
So I fit those guys in. And then I don't have much cap space left, so I'm going to give each quarterback their kicker.
Wow.
As well. I'm going to go with Harrison Butker and Robbie Gould as well. So that projects out with our projections at 102, spends the full $50,000. And I think that is your optimal lineup for 50-50s, head-to-heads, and cash games this week.
Okay. That's not a bad lineup.
What do you got?
Al, why don't we just start really quickly with how you feel about that before we get into mine? We'll break Mike's down by itself first.
I think Mike's got a really good cash game or 50-50 lineup here. Obviously, if we were playing for tournaments, I'd rather not have two kickers. I'd rather not have a quarterback as my captain. But Mike's playing for 50-50, and he's just playing against you. He doesn't have to be faster than the bear, Daniel. He just needs to be faster than you. So he's built a lineup to try and be faster than you here.
Wow. I don't know, because I got tons of speed in my lineup. All right, here we go. My lineup for the Super Bowl at the captain spot. Mecole Hardman, what? $3,300, guys.
What?
Are you kidding me? One catch for 60 yards and a touchdown, and all of a sudden, man, that price point is incredible. The reason why I did this, I set like seven different lineups, and I was trying to be like, which one just do I feel most comfortable with? Mecole Hardman in my captain spot, $3,300. I'm just playing off the big play potential there. Patrick Mahomes is my next flex, $12,600. Then Tyreek Hill, $1,100. And then the other quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. And then his top target, George Kittle. And then Emmanuel Sanders, $5,200. Altogether, I spent $48,500, the grand total of more points than what Mike is probably going to score. Al, I understand what you're going to say, all right? I don't need to hear it, Dad. Like, just tell me that you're proud of me and that you will let me continue to stay here over the summer until I can find a real job.
Okay. If we were playing a tournament,
thank you.
I would really like Daniel's lineup more. Because
so
I'm when I play tournaments, I want to be Ricky Bobby, right? If you ain't first, you're last. I'm only gunning for first place when I play tournaments. And this is a lineup that is really either going to be like if you're cliff diving, right? There's really only two ranks of cliff divers. There's no in between. There's no gray area. You're either the grand champion or you're stuff on a rock.
Yeah.
So this lineup is a cliff diving lineup, and I'm okay with that for tournaments. But in terms of cash games, in terms of these two lineups going head to head, I think that Mike's lineup's got a higher median. I think his lineup has a similar, if not as high a ceiling as yours. But give me Mike's lineup head to head here.
So this is, I like that they're so different, right? We have a lot of different players.
Yeah.
The key two, there's gonna be two key players here. Jimmy G, because I'm gonna get 1.5 points every one that you get. We both have him in our lineup. I just have him as a captain. And Hartman, of course, he's your captain. If he has a long touchdown catch, that's gonna be massive for you. I don't have him. He's in your captain spot. But again, he's a very low floor. So if he just if he catches
super low,
1 for 12, and that's it, he's gonna burn you big time.
If he can get me 1 60-yard touchdown catch, so that's 13 points plus so, time and a half. So you're looking at,
almost 20 points. Yeah.
20 points at the price range of $3,300.
Yeah.
So assuming that the rest of the things work out, but you're right. This is definitely more of a tournament lineup than it is. It's so hard for me from a head to head standpoint because I understand the safe floor of the kickers. I just want to live a little, guys. Like,
yeah.
That's all. I just let me live a little bit, okay?
Yeah, if we do, and I would say this. I mean, this is our first year doing this podcast, right? And this is like a post-show meeting thing I'm going to talk about, but I will say it for the listeners. Like, if we do this next year and we're talking about showdown, we should just set for tournaments. Because I think that's what most – would you agree, Al, most people are in a tournament setting in showdown, Captain?
I attack showdown for tournaments only. I don't play cash games when it comes to – showdown slates at all. I'm trying to build multiple lineups to try and get myself all the way up the leaderboard and try and finish first.
So, there you go. I mean, yeah.
And hopefully you can do it without sharing it with like 400 different people. So you want to try and have a little bit of a unique lineup when you're building for first place in a tournament and showdown as well, because there's a lot more overlap in a single game with only 6 players.
Yeah. So keep that in mind when you're setting lineups. Like you and I just set a lineup to essentially, well, I set a lineup to face you. You set one for a tournament, I guess. I don't know. But we'll see what happens. But nonetheless, all the analysis before hopefully will help people set a good tournament and or cash lineup.
Al, do you think that only 400 people listen to this podcast? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that I took down first place in a showdown lineup earlier this year when the Rams played on Monday night, and I think I shared it with 710 of my closest friends.
Oh, cool. That's super cool.
He has 710
really.
Close friends?
Close friends. Yes.
Yeah, we all held hands and walked across the finish line of that tournament.
Oh, that's incredible.
Not great.
Feels so good. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us this year. It has been an absolute blast to be able to do this podcast with you guys. We weren't really sure what it was going to turn out like. We just decided, you know what? Let's decide we're going to do a DFS thing and see what happens and figure it out. But like, I've been thrilled with the way it's happened. Other than being sick a couple weeks, this was a lot of fun. I hope that we get to come back and do this again next year. We will let you guys know on social media which one of us wins. One of us will let you know louder. I will promise you it will be me. Mike Clay, I just want to say thank you so much for everything this year. The tool that you built, everything that is we're able to use to be able to look at these lineups. It's such an easy tool with ESPN Plus, being able to look at how to set these lineups with great value, good value, average value. If you did not check it out, please make sure that you go and do that. It is a fantastic tool. And Al, same thing for you, writing the best buys column that you do every single week. I love being able to look at, you know, what it is that you write out and how you look at things and then compare it to what Mike has and find a spot sort of in between the both where I feel like I'm putting together a really smart, good lineup, and both of you are so great at this. So I just want to say thank you. It's been a blast for me this year, and I think I've learned a ton from this standpoint. So,
yeah, and thanks to you, Daniel. Obviously, thanks to Al. Thanks to everybody involved. And obviously to the people watching and the people listening, because this was our first year of a full-time DFS pod, right?
I mean,
if no one watched, we would not do it next year. So we'll see. I guess people will know how many people watch if we do it again
next season.
But, obviously let us know what you thought of the show. If you think you'd like to see a little different next season, next time, and we'll keep working at it. But
absolutely.
I think it was a decent first year. We won some people some money.
Make sure you get your lineups in so that you can play against us this week. It's going to be a ton of fun to be able to figure everything out. For Daniel Dopp, for Mike Clay, for Al Zeidenfeld, we just want to say thank you for a fantastic season. Good luck in the Super Bowl, and we'll see you guys next year.
He's a NASCAR guy with a base to try. A Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls,